Ethiopian American.
Eritrean Canadian. Diaspora means movement. Scattering.
Migration.
Hyphenation.
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 Welcome to Hyphenation, a podcast about the diaspora life.
Imagine leaving your home country and planting roots thousands of miles away in a new nation, one in which you are literally and figuratively foreign, a foreigner, a permanent resident alien. A new country with a whole new set of social rules and norms, a language which you do not yet speak, and a culture you must assimilate to, and very quickly. This for the sake of providing stability, education, and opportunity for your children. This is the story we'll tell today, just one of millions of others, the immigrant journey and hustle. We interviewed a soft-spoken first-generation Ethiopian immigrant who immigrated to the States in the 1990s. To maintain her privacy, we've given her the pseudonym Sin Knight. This is her story of growing up in a small town in Ethiopia, the difficulties of simply being a girl there and trying to finish school, her life as an adult, her marrying and then having a family, only to leave them behind in hopes of them following her in a new home in America, and all the difficult times and sacrifices made in between.
We also interviewed her husband, whom we will refer to as Kefle. The interview took place in their lovely suburban home in Virginia on an early Sunday afternoon, with their children and grandchildren buzzing in the background.
The boys,
They spoke naturally, mixing both English and Amharic during the interview. English translations were read by their own son and daughter, with a few supplemental translations read by me. Now, we didn't want to hide the Amharic for those who can understand and appreciate it, so we've included both.
Sin Knight and her husband are now in their 60s, but we're going to start from the beginning when Sin Knight was just a little girl. She was born and raised in Desi, a small town 240 miles outside of the capital, Addis Ababa. She told us a little about her upbringing and her primary school days, and especially the strength and will of her mother to send her to school in a time and place where it wasn't the easiest thing to do.
We were raised and went to school against the odds, by force. That's how we grew up, by force.
Mother, she loves us to go to school all the time. She forced us. She was a special mother anyway. Education is priority. She prioritized education. She was not educated even. She doesn't know how to write or read. And my father was so much, you know, anxious for us to get married early. And she was always argue with him. No. She used to say, if you don't get educated, you're get married, let's say. Sumuni asr santim tilamingalish kal tamar shemil nagar. Hul gzeyin til nabara. Wada wich iliot asulizna nasid santim sutabilish tilamingalish kal tamar. Katamar shigin rasinchilish sum rasut lamnogrish layod kalim.
You'll be begging for quarters and dimes if you don't get educated. She would always say this. When he's on his way out to have a good time, you'll be begging him for money, coins. If you're uneducated, if you're educated, you'll be independent and he will fall at your feet and beg.
Mother.
Yeah. She wanted to be equal with men and didn't want to be inferior to them. All of us, me, my brother and sister, learned because of her.
She's the one. She used to take me to school, you know, this feeling
How can I explain this to you? She was afraid boys would follow and bother me on the way to school. So without me seeing her, she would follow me all the way until I reached the school.
So she made sure you got to school.
Yeah. The boys are so much, you know, terrible. They try to talk to you and then if not, if you don't talk to them, they push your clothes and they try to fight. By the way, I used to fight with boys. Sikatali shemizun khule yekaderku bet wondelij neber. Chok ndihoru robin classust sitsif mkniyatum bet በጣም ሲከተሉ ደሜ ይፈላል እንዲህ ብዬ ነው የምሄደው በሱ ልማድ ይሄው እንደዚህ ሆኖ ቀረ
There was this one boy whose shirt I tore up. I remember that he hated me because I used to be so serious. I hated when boys followed or tried to talk to me in class. It would make my blood boil. So I used to walk around with a frown to ward them off. That's why I have a frown wrinkle there now, as you can see. Anyway, one time this boy threw a chalk at me in class. So I retaliated. We went at it, and I managed to tear up his shirt to pieces.
But he has now. ሸሚዙን ቀደደት ታይዘን
Ethiopia has made significant progress towards closing the gender gap in educational attainment in recent years, but girls continue to trail behind their male counterparts in attaining and completing primary, secondary, and tertiary education, and their odds were much poorer back in the 1960s and 70s when Sennait was growing up. One important barrier to girls' education is early marriage. There was a period of time Sennait's father had her engaged to be married before she finished school. She managed to escape that engagement and eventually finished school and then moved to the big city, Addis Ababa, to attend nursing school.
I finished 12th grade. Then I went to nursing school.
Okay.
Ethiopian Red Cross. Naturally, I used to love the uniform. I used to make with a paper and make nurse's hat, you know, and then I love to help sick people.
We asked Sennait and Kifle to tell us a little about when they first met.
I was like between 17, 18.
Okay.
The previous my fiancé or this guy?
Your husband right now.
My husband, yeah.
You met him when you were 19, 18?
Yeah, 19.
Okay. Did you meet him in Desi or Addis Ababa?
Desi. Abrane yadegno. Ndom kaza fit no. 17 yonal.
We grew up together. Actually, I was probably like 17 when we first met.
Ngidi nya gana lijoch nan. Ne 19 amat. Swa ya 17 amat lijuna no. Ne na swa boyfriend na girlfriend yon no. Swa lijoch bizu yimatu atsile nebere. Swa sinaku binni.
We were still kids. I was 19. She was 17 when we became boyfriend and girlfriend. Kids used to hit her a lot, so when they touched her, I would go and beat up on any kid in Dese, saying, if you ever touch her again, when they insulted her in the street.
ሌላ ኪሲንግ እንኳን አያቆም ሌላውን ታየ ወደ ሌላ ነገር ዝም ብሎ አብሮ ቁጭ ብሎ ቦይፍሬንድ ጋርልፍሬንድ ለማለት መጽሐፍ ውስጥ ወረቀት እንትን ይሉና መጽሐፍ የሚሰጥ መስሎ ነው የሚሰጥሽ
We knew nothing. The way it was at the beginning is we would be sitting in the library and the Ethiopian boys, if they like you, they would write you a letter. They don't even know about kissing. Forget anything else, all the other stuff. Just to sit together and say boyfriend, girlfriend. They would put the note in a book and give it to you, pretending he is giving you a book. To say let's meet up like that, you know, they don't even know about kissing.
Okay.
በቃ እንገናኝ እንደዚ ያለ አይደለ? Kissing እንኳን ያቁ።
Okay. Very shy.
Yeah. So that was the communication with the books and letter. Okay.
Is that what he did?
I think so. አፖይን ምንድነው ስሙ? ዴት ለማድረግ ስንፈልግ ትንሽ ከቲኔጀር ካፍ ስንል እኔ እናሱ እመጣለሁ ይለኛል አይደል በተለይ ነርሲንግ ስኩል ሆኜ አንዲት ሰዓት እንኳን ካሳለፈ አልገባም ክላስ እጠብቀዋለሁ
ኦኬ ኦኬ
ምንንም አላቀውም ግን በጣም አይ ዋዝ ሶ ማች ኤክሳይትድ ቱ ሲ ሂም
what's the word when we wanted to date when we were a little older than teenage me and him he would tell me he's going to come by especially when I was in nursing school I'd be so excited to see him If he's late even an hour, I don't go to class. Wait for him. I barely know him, but I would wait for him lying outside in the grass.
Sennait and Kifle would marry and have four children. While their youngest child was just 3 years old, Sennait was met with a big, life-changing opportunity and one of the hardest decisions she'd ever have to make.
Fortunately, I got good luck to get a visa to come to America because I always say that I want a better education for my kids always I was like dreaming you know that comes true You wouldn't believe that you'll get visa or you'll have a means to come here.
Visas to the U.S. weren't and still aren't easy to come by. The odds may be slightly in a prospective immigrant's favor if she can guarantee someone already in the U.S. who can sponsor and support her. So, thinking it would be easier for her to arrive and settle in first and then bring the rest of her family, Sunlight was tasked with having to leave her family behind. There was a lot of uncertainty. Will she ever reunite with Kifle and her children? And if so, when and where? Here in the States, or would she have to return? Would she be able to survive and thrive, find a job, make enough to support herself? Could she survive the distance, the loneliness? It was a tough decision for both her and Kifle, but they were stuck between a rock and a hard place. The political environment in Addis Ababa then was chaos.
የሀገሪቱ ሁኔታ በኢትዮጵያ ውስጥ ይደረግ የነበረው ሁኔታ ልጆቻችንን ለማስተማም ሆነ የኛ የወደፊት እጣ እድል አስፈራን በጣም ምክንያቱም ከጎናችን ብዙ ጓደኞቻችን ተገደሉ አብረውኝ የሚሰሩ ሰዎች እየታሰሩ አለቁ ያለኝ አማራጭ ልጆቼን ማሸሽ ነው
because of the conditions of the country what was happening in the country and the matter of educating our kids and our future prospects really scared us because many of our friends were killed the people I worked with were going to jail and disappearing
derg
they're talking about the derg regime a violent marxist government that overthrew emperor haile selassie and ruled from 1974 to 1991 and which was responsible for mass executions and imprisonments during its time so they came up with a plan Sunlight would move first then he would follow then together they'd bring the rest of their children
እና ልጆቻችንን ማሸሽና ማስተማር ሌላ ጣፈንታ ስለነበረ ለደቂቃ ልንለያቸው
My only choice was to hide my children. So to hide away and educate our children because there was no other option.
So Sunlight began her journey here alone. And it was not easy.
The hardest one. Because I don't want to leave my children back and live here. Every single day I used to cry. So I have to go back to Ethiopia if my kids don't come. Okay. Very hard.
Do you remember how much money you had when you moved here?
From Ethiopia?
Mm-hmm. How much, how many dollars did you
come? $15.
You came to America with $15?
$50.
You are kidding me.
Yeah. $50 a season, right?
Sunlight turns to Kifle and says, Isn't that right? You sent me here with $50, right? He confirms this and adds that when he'd arrived here to join her a year later, he'd also brought with him a single $50 bill. He then reminds her that she mailed the $50 she'd brought here with her back to Ethiopia for him and their kids because the dollar was and still is quite valuable.
Expensive number dollar and latinish nagar itakamal miyemallaskut.
Tell me about your very first apartment.
Berkeley building, 6th floor. So I used to live before, maybe 2 months or 3 months in my husband's friend's house. And then finally I got a job in nursing. That was a requirement. You should have over $600. Per month, so I get a chance to rent that.
Efficiency.
About a year later, Kifle was able to join her. He explains how extremely difficult it was for him to part ways with his children. At this particular part, he turns and speaks directly to two of his now adult children, who turned keenly to the interview and conversation and were listening in.
You know, Madani Alamosije, the embassy. መንበሩ ፊት ቆሜ አልቅሼ ነው አደራ ሰጥቻቸው የመጣሁት This I will not forget. ይሄው አንተ ሰጠኛል ሰጥቻለሁ ልጆቼን አስረክበይ ብዬ
We handed over to God our children who we couldn't bear to be away from for even 1 minute. You know I took you to the Medanan Alam church after the embassy. I stood before the altar and cried, handed you over to God before I came. Watch, you gave them to me. I gave them to you. Take my children, I said. And on the third day, I left you and came to this country.
Leaving would mean that he would reunite with Sunlight. And they were ecstatic, to say the least, when this finally happened.
ስለተለየሁት እና ብዙ የሚያስፈሩ ነገሮች ሲሰሙ ስለነበረ በዛው
አይኗን እስከማያት ይቸኩል ነበር እና ከአውሮፕላን ወርጄ ሻንጣዬን ስጭን ሻንጣው ተጣሞ ከጎን ወደቀብኝ። ስገፋ ካፍ ምን ጊዜማ ማንሳት አቃተኝ ሻንጣው እና ፖሊሶቹ ይዘው የሚመልሱኝ ይመስለኝ ነበር ነው በዛ ሰዓት ኤርፖርት በጣም እና እኔ እናቴ በትሞት አላለቀስኩም ያኔ እሷን ሳይ የተላቀስ ነው ኤርፖርት
because I was separated from her and because I had so much fear at that time I couldn't wait to look her in the eyes again. When I had gotten off the plane and was pushing my bags in the cart, it fell sideways. I'll never forget it. I couldn't pick it up. I thought the police would arrest me and send me back. Even when my mother died, I did not cry as much as I did when I first saw you at the airport.
He says this, speaking directly to Sin Knight.
They weren't yet complete as a family, but at least they had each other. They were now a united front, together working towards their ultimate goal of bringing their children, raising them here, and ensuring a bright future for them. And so they began their immigrant journey in America, starting with very little and working hours on end with this very goal in mind. While working and saving money, they began the petition to bring their four children over.
Zahagar matash and challama mihonibish nagar lemejemerya gize zahagar matiche ka America ka Dallas airport takabbalany the day after eni bichayen no madro menum sayellem ያው መጻፊን ሳነ እግዚአብሔር ጋር ሳወራ ጸሎቴን ሳረግ ቀን ደሞ በግሬ
አምስት Kifley describes how his early days here were. The very night he arrived was spent alone because Sin Knight was working an overnight shift.
ምን ኖሮ አንድ ኤፊሺንሲ ቤት ነበረች 580 ብር ነበር የምንከፍለው። አሁን በዛ ጊዜ ምንም ነገር ስለሌለን እንጀራ ሲያምራት ሲርባት ከስታ ስላየኋት እንጀራ በሳህን በግሬ ይዤ ነበር በታክሲ አልሄድም በአውቶቡስ አልሄድም እነዛ ህይወቶች ናቸው አሁን
When you came to this country the first thing that will feel dark to you when I first came here after she picked me up from the airport I was alone overnight because there was no one else I would read my book talk with God pray and in the daytime walking 5-6 miles and learning the bus routes we had one efficiency home we used to pay $580 so because at that time we had nothing when she was hungry and craved injera Because I saw how thin she got, I would take her a dish of injera on foot, and I wouldn't take taxi. I wouldn't take the bus. Those times are what amaze me now.
After about 3 to 4 months of looking for work, Kifley finally found his first job as a parking attendant, and then picked up a second job and worked 80 hours a week.
አሁን ስራ አጣሁ ለአንድ ለሶስት አራት ወር ስራ አልነበረኝም እና በየፓርኪንግ ካምፓኒው እየዞርኩ
I couldn't work for 3-4 months. I would go to the parking companies and fill out applications. One place called. I took the test and they called me. When they called me, I started working. $6.15 an hour. And after doing that for 2 months, I looked for another job in a place called Atlantic Garage. I was hired for $6.15 an hour. I worked 40 hours. Doesn't that come to 80 hours? At the time when I was working in parking, I wouldn't take the night train. I'll take the number 2 bus and then on the metro. Sometimes when I was going at night, I would be by myself. There is no one.
በዛ ጊዜ ፓርኪንግ እየሰራ በባቡር ነበር የሚሄደው ማታ በነምበር 2 የምትባል አውቶቡስ ይሄድና ከዛ በዛ በሜትሮ አንዳንድ ጊዜ ማታ ሲሄድ ብቻዬን ነው የሚሄደው ሰው የለም 80 ሰዓት እየሰራሁ ነው ያንን ህይወት ያሳለፍነው ከዛ እንደገና በሙያችን ስራ ስናገኝ ከሁለት አመት በኋላ ለዛው መከራ አይተን ያንን ህይወት አሳልፈን ነው እዚህ የደረስነው ግን ከትንሽ ነገር እኔ ከ6 ብር 15 ሳንቲም እሷ በ11 ብር ስራ ተቀጥረን ነው 25
working 80 hours that's how we passed life and then we found work in our professions 2 years later it was after passing that life that we got here starting from something very small I from $6.15, her from $11 until we could get to where I could earn $25 an hour and she could earn $40 to $50.
These times were tough and made even tougher knowing their children were still back in Ethiopia with no certainty of their reunion in sight.
ከባድ ነው በሪ በቃስ ብዙ ሳድነስ ነበር እኔም ረብሻለሁ ዲፕሬሽን በዚህ ሀገር ዲፕሬሽን
It was very hard. There was a lot of sadness. I would bother him a lot, what they call depression here. I overcame a lot to bring my kids here. We overcame it all, didn't we? We dug up and dug up the earth.
After about 2 years, and an immigration judge finally told them some good news.
Your kids danyo amejemere stinagar your kids, you know, they are coming. You'll see your children.
Mm-hmm.
When the judge said, "You'll see your children," that was one of the happiest days of my life. I did not believe her. When I left, my tears were pouring down.
About the new country they, as a family, would soon call home, Kifle says this.
እኔ ወንዱ ልጅ ሰው ፊት ቁጭ ብዬ ሳለቅስ ለቅሶዬን ተቀብለው አይዞህ ልጆችህን እናመጣልሃለን እኛ ልጆችህ ይመጣሉ አሁን ስራም የፈለክበት አሜሪካ ውስጥ ሄደህ መስራት ትችላለህ ሲሉ
It's very generous. Government, I can't tell you how much accepting our tears, doing everything. What's amazing is when I, a man, sat crying in front of a stranger, they accepted my tears and said, "Don't worry, we'll bring your children. Your children will come now. You can do any work you can anywhere in America." I kissed the ground before I left. I'll never forget that.
We asked them to describe how it was when they finally reunited with their children.
I was nervous. We are nervous anyway, like mad people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just a dream. Try Muslim. Mm-hmm. Never.
Dallas Airport and date. Under the doubt,
Sinnight says it felt like a dream, far from reality. Kifle says he's not even sure how he drove the car to the airport to pick them up. Once at the airport, they asked around if anyone had seen four kids from Ethiopia. Finally, when they saw each other, it was like a crying fest, tears of pure joy.
Everybody alakasan. Ke airport. Bakkat alakasan. Sawus kam migar maudras. እዛ ኤርፖርት አሁን 24 ሰዓት ረፍት የለንም ቤት ኪራይ
And just like that, they were happily reunited, but it was back to work. They didn't have 24 hours to take a breather and stay home from work because by then they had upgraded to a two-bedroom apartment for their family of six and could not afford to take a break from work. Now, 25 plus years later, Sanayit and Kifle are in their 60s and on the verge of retirement. They've lived in their current home in the suburbs of Northern Virginia, which they themselves had built, for over 10 years now. Space is no issue here. All of their four children are now educated, working, and happy adults. Sanayit and Kifle are also grandparents to two bright kids and hoping for more. Like most Ethiopians of the older generation, Sanayit and Kifle are pious Orthodox Christians and have their faith to thank for how far they've come.
እኛ አይደለንም እግዚአብሔር ባደረገልን በጣም እንኮራለን አሁንም ቢሆን ማንንም ያደረገልን የለም እናት አልነበረንም አባት አልነበረንም ማንንም ዘመድ የለም
It wasn't us. We are proud of what God has done for us. Even now, we had no mother, father, no relatives. We have no grace other than God.
I have no any words to say. I'm so happy, and the main thing is not the house or any whatever you call. The main thing, my kids are grown. There was so many problems. They're safe now and they're by their own and educated higher level. That's what I need. Sometimes when I think about those things, thanks God.
As for sentiments towards America and her home, Ethiopia, Sanayit says this.
I mean, as a foreigner, till you get settled, it's hard. It's very hard to get a job. And what I believe, you can be anything in this country if you are smart.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be educated, you can do it. There is access. There is ways to improve yourself. I love America because that is the reason we are here.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate America. I love America. Number one is my country, you know that.
Do you miss Ethiopia?
Oh, yeah. I love my country. When there is any place, I'll go. And I'll be buried there.
Well, that's the story of Kifle and Sanayit so far. The future, who knows? We hope that some part of their story, or all of it, echoed the story of your own parents' migration to America, or the story of other adults of their generation who migrated to America with these same elements of having to make a very tough decision, often coming to America with little or nothing and having to start their lives all over again.
And to do so, taking little for granted, with so much gratitude, true grit, and pride and hard work. Or perhaps it was you yourself who had to start anew and provide for your children. The experience of having love for one's country, despite its shortcomings and guaranteeing one's safety and opportunity, and having to gamble and leave it behind for a better future, is shared by millions of others. And we understand that Kifle and Sennight's journey was actually a quite easy one compared to so many others. Please let us know what you thought. Subscribe, share, and rate us on Apple Podcasts or however way you're listening to this episode right now. We are a team of two, just myself and Reps, who write for, host, and produce this podcast. So your ratings will be a big, big help. To share your story with us or anything else you'd like to tell us, we can be reached at diasporalifepod@gmail.com. See you next time.
We're all a star. We're a star. Beautiful design.